Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. For several weeks, we have endeavored to dig out the principles of holiness. Five lessons into it, multiple weeks beyond that. And I want to go back tonight and I want to do a review of some things. And I've just about come to the conclusion that it's about an inexhaustible source and subject. And so just going through it today, I found some more stuff. And so anyways, but I want to get to where the Lord would have us to go. I've been praying about this. I still feel the need, still feel the desire and the unction to do it. And so we're just going to go and just to recollect and to bring our minds back to this. Praise God. But why don't we just ask the Lord to help us tonight? Amen. Would you ask the Lord to help you? God, I want you to talk to me. I want you to deal with me. I want you to speak to me, God. God, I want to set my spirit before you, God, and I want it to be measured against your word. And I know, God, that I am going to come up wanting, Lord, but let your word shine into my heart. And let your word speak to my spirit and to my soul and cause me to know where, God, I need to work upon, Lord. Let the Spirit speak expressly, God, and we'll be quick to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. We are called to be. Paul lets us know in two of his epistles that we are called to be saints. And to Titus, he wrote to him and told him that that we have been chosen to be a soldier. And there are many other things that we as children of God have been called unto, but one of the most important ones with ramifications is the fact that we are called to be holy. Praise God. We are called to be holy. I found something rather interesting and unique today, because in this and that we are called to be holy, first of all, 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 15 through 16, I am going to do a little bit of reading tonight, and I'm going to try to move rather quickly because we have a long ways to go and I don't want to be that long. But 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then, of course, our text today, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the word holiness, it could have, I won't say a whole lot of different meanings, but it does have a lot of synonyms to it. But one of the synonyms that would be there is just purity. Amen. And so we are to be pure, and we are to be pure-hearted and pure-minded and pure-spirited. And obviously that is not all that it entails, but I do want to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Praise God. And so he said that follow peace with all men and holiness, without which. And so that preposition charis and separated or there, that means without, and then adding unto it the pronoun, the Greek pronoun ha, which informs us that these things are essential to the Christian experience. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. Amen. Very few times in the Word of God is it so emphatic like this, but it lets us know that holiness is as true and as relevant to salvation as John 3:3. Amen. That a man must be born again of water and the Spirit. And you've got to follow after holiness, which just simply means to pursue. Amen. It is extremely imperative that we seek after this to be holy, lest we come up short short of seeing the Lord. And this just simply means to follow hard after, to give diligence, even as, amen, the beast of prey would follow after his game. Amen. That emphatic, that dogmatic, that intricate, watching, careful, every move, watching his every move to be able to act upon that. We know that holiness is the highest calling, and the highest calling that we would have is to be Christians, but it is what reflects the Christian mentality or the attitude or being Christ-like. And we know that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, and the Jews did not give them this name, for Christ was sacred among them, and they repudiated the claim that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they did not do it, but all of the others that were followers, that was watching, they saw the actions of the disciples, and they say they emulate the Christ, they emulate Jesus, and so they called them Christians. And that just comes from that soldiers under particular generals in any Roman army often took on the name of their general and added a Latin suffix to it, the I-A-N-I, so the Ani, and it just was so that the soldiers and the followers would know who that they were associated with. So, for example, Caesar's soldiers were called the Caesarianis, and Pompey's soldiers were called Pompeianis. And so the Christians in the Greek, they were called the Christianis, which we have just translated that or shortened that to be Christians. In other words, they are of the army, and the general is Christ. Amen. And so the people in Antioch began to call these disciples Christians and followers of Christ. We learn that holiness is declared to be beautiful. 1 Chronicles 16 and 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But it's not just a beauty, but it is to be a continued work among the people. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so it is an ongoing work that we have to continually work at. We learned that humility precedes holiness. I wrote down some quotes that we had there. Long before we ever arrive at holiness, we must depart from self-righteousness and pride. And Alan Bond said, the bigger I grow in God, the smaller that I become. And so a holy man is a humble man. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And so this just shows us that the most holy of all and the most powerful voice that ever spoke on the face of the earth described himself to be meek and lowly in heart. Praise God. And then we got to lesson two, knowing God and knowing ourselves. We learned about who that we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 23. We have used this scripture very often. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, so your entire spirit, entire soul, entire body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God does not want part of us, but rather he wants all of us. He wants your entire spirit, your entire soul, and your entire body. Amen. Praise God. John 8 and 32 tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Praise God. Amen. And that is important because we've got to know the truth. But when you look up that word truth, it does not mean logos. It does not mean the law. It does not mean, but it just simply means the facts about, facts concerning. It is the truth. And so it is the truth concerning the Word of God. It is the truth concerning reality. It is the truth even concerning us. Amen. We have got to be open to understanding and to knowing the truth about us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. Some people don't want to know the truth about themselves. They want to know the truth about the Bible, but they don't want to know the truth about themselves, and therefore they will always live in a bound up life. Praise God. Amen. We also learned about who that God is. Amen. Leviticus 19:2 said that he said, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And so God is entirely separate from all others, entirely separate from all things, entirely cut off from all of the world. Amen. He is God. He is holy. Praise the Lord. He is absolute and entirely pure. We know this. And so when we declare that God is love, we know that God's love is not tainted because he is pure. We can say that God is faithful, and we would have to say that God's faithfulness is not tainted because he is pure. God is also full of mercy, and therefore his mercy is not tainted because he is pure. We know that God is just, and therefore his righteousness is untainted because he is righteously and lawfully pure. There is no impurity in God's love, no impurity in his faithfulness, in his mercy, and in his righteousness. By God's holiness, he cannot be partial to sin, no matter where it is, because if he was partial to it, then he, amen, would be tainted, and his pureness, let me just back up and say that his pureness would not be as pure, amen. It would be tainted because he would have leniency there and not over here. But we know that he is not a respecter of persons, amen. But he demands all things of us that he would of anybody else. In other words, when it comes to being rich or poor, it does not matter to God, amen. The things that are in demand for the poor are the same that would be in the demand for the rich, amen. The same that would be in demand for the rich is what God is going to hold the poor accountable for. Praise God. Because that God is pure. Can you say amen? In lesson 3, we learned, amen, about a holy God with his holy people. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God. And so that's how that we start on the road of holiness, is by the Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And when the Spirit dwells upon the inside of us, we are to depart from iniquity. In other words, we are to do our absolute very best to not be to not sin. Amen. Let him that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness, wrongfulness, or iniquity. We learn that the Holy God's principle of separation was designed by him, and that he chose that method or that way, that principle of separation. We know that he divided the light from the dark. Amen. And he put off the works of darkness, and he's called us out of darkness. Amen. In Exodus 33, he said that we shall be separated from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. In Exodus 11, the Lord said that his people would be different between the Egyptians. Or it just says that he would put a difference between the Egyptians
and the Israelites. There was distinct separation in Leviticus 19 and 19. He talked about not letting the cattle gender with a diverse kind, not sowing the field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come unto thee. Deuteronomy 22 and 9, not to sow the vineyard with divers seeds, not to plow an ox with a donkey, not to wear a garment of divers sorts, such as woolen and linen together. It was the principle of separation. Ezekiel chapter 22 and 44. Amen. He talked about the difference between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean. In the New Testament, he said that there would be division between the sheep and the goat, the spotted and the speckled, the precious and the vile. He talked about the great divide that was between the rich man and the poor man. He talked about heaven and hell. And then Paul began to pick up upon this principle of separation, in that he said, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have and have of God, and you are not your own?" 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And then he goes on to talk about, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness, Christ with Belial, believer with an infidel, the temple of God's with idols?" And so he told us to come out from among them and to be separate, saith the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I know I'm going fast tonight. I know that I don't have much energy, and I'm trying to get it, amen, done today. So just bear with us today. Praise God. Lesson 4, we begin to get into the whole man. Amen. The entire man, bringing back the principle of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus." Amen. This let us know that man is made up of three parts. Number one was the spirit. Number two, the soul. And number three, the body. Amen. Man is made up of these. And he said, "Sanctify you wholly." And we talked about the word sanctification. And that word sanctification means to be sanctified, or to be called out, or to be with a specific purpose. God has given us, amen, a specific purpose. Sanctified for a specific purpose. We use that old hairbrush, amen, of pawpaws being used, amen, coming from the toilet and brushing pawpaw's hair, amen. That's not the purpose that it had. It was sanctified for a purpose, and after it was desecrated, amen, then it just had to go into the trash can after that. And so the Bible says that we are sanctified. God hath called us out for a specific purpose, amen, amen, and that our entire body, our entire soul, our entire spirit would be sanctified wholly. Amen. And there we talked about that there was a progression that happened there. Amen. The progression was that first of all, it's the spirit, and then the soul, and then the body. Amen. We talked about that the spirit of a man is capable of God consciousness. The soul of a man is capable, and it is the seat of self-consciousness. And the body of a man is the seat of sense consciousness. And so this constitutes the entirety of man: spirit, soul, and body. We talked about that the body is the visible part, and the soul and the spirit are the invisible part. And this is who that we are. And when the soul and the spirit of a man are separated from the body, body, there is only one thing that that can equate to, and that is death. You cannot have a body without spirit. You cannot have a body without the soul. Amen. We understand that Adam was once like that, but God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Praise God. And so when the spirit has departed from the man and the soul has departed from the man, then the only possible thing that can be of come of that is death. There is no possible way to separate the spirit of a man from the body of a man. Amen. Therefore, holiness must be outward and inward. They cannot be separated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just take some time right here and just talk to you a little bit about that. That there are those that want to have, amen, a form of holiness on the on the outside, but have no form of holiness on the inside. And then there are those that want to have, quote unquote, an inward holiness, but not have an outward holiness. You cannot have one or the other. Holiness is not a buffet that you get to go into, amen, and begin to walk up and down the line and choose what you want to have and what you don't want to have. Are you with me tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You cannot pick, amen, an outward adorning, amen, and constitute that as holiness alone, and then have your soul, have your spirit affected, amen, with hatred and anger and malice and all of these other things. You gotta be holy on the outside, and you gotta be holy on the inside. Amen. Your entire spirit has got to be holy. Your entire soul has got to be holy, and your entire body has got to be holy. Praise God. Praise God. And so God's principle of separation in 2 Corinthians 6, and that he's told us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he went through what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness. Communion hath light with darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And you are the temple of the living God. Amen. Praise God. And so Paul, dealing with the ideology of relationship and connectivity, and that he said, fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship can there be? What concord or what harmony or what agreement can there be between Christ and Belial? And what commonness or part hath a believer with an infidel or an unbeliever? So when God redeems you, he unharnesses you. And he disconnects you from the things that shape you and influence you, amen, or influence your identity. And you begin to take on his identity. Why? Because you now belong to God. You belong to God. Amen. God doesn't want you hooked up with the things of this world. You belong to him. Amen. You must remember, he paid the price. Praise God. He paid the price. You and I were on our way to a devil's hell. You and I were lost. And according to the law, there was no hope within us. There was no way that we could get hope beyond this world. But Jesus Christ came and he paid the price for us. He did not just set you free just so you could go do your own thing and fall back into the clutches of sin again. He paid the price, and now we belong unto Him. Praise God. And God is not going to share His presence with the things of this world and the nature of the world and rebellion and lust and ungodliness and such. Praise God. And so He simply said, come out from among them. There is a commandment that is given unto us to come out from among them and to be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then He says, touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. And so there is a prerequisite that is set about us. If we want to be received of God, then we have got to do our best, amen, to not only belong to God, but to fulfill the commandments of God, which would be to come out from among them and be separate and to be holy. Praise God. Praise God. And when we are holy, then we can expect Him to be on our side. Praise God. We can expect Him to fight for us. We can expect Him to stand up for us. Praise the Lord. Can we just lift our hands and magnify the Lord here today? Praise God. God takes care of His own. God takes care of His own. But you're going to have to act like a child of God. You're going to have to act like part of the family of God. Praise the Lord. It's like that stubborn, rebellious kid, amen, that just wants to do his own thing and his own time and stuff until they need something, and they come running back to mom and daddy asking mom and daddy to pull the wallet out and to fork over a few bills. Don't have time for mom and dad until I need something of them. Praise God. I'm glad that we serve a loving and a caring God. And I'm glad that we serve a faithful God. But friend, if you want to experience the riches of God, and not just, amen, just the top part of it, where you're barely scraping by, then I encourage you to get in with all of your heart. If you're fighting things, and if you're fighting condemnation, and if you're fighting, amen, all of the things of the world, and you're struggling trying to live for God, it's probably because you're trying to live for God in just the most minimal way. But if you would live for God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, I'm telling you, you can live on the best side of it. You can live in the promises of God, the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And so He says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. And separate, this is the word that the devil hates. Let me just stop and expound on this a little bit here today. Let me just say that again. Separation is what the devil hates. If you write anything down in your little book, write that down. Separation is what the devil hates. He doesn't want you to live a clean life. He doesn't want you to live a holy life. He doesn't want you to live a pure life. Because when you live those things, He has no control over you. He doesn't care that you come to church. You've heard me preach this, but let me just preach it for a little while again here tonight. He doesn't care that you come to church. He doesn't care how faithful you are to church. You can go to hell on a church pew. I said you can go straight to hell sitting on a church pew. You can go to hell in a Pentecostal church. No sin. Sin's not going to enter into heaven. Amen. Now, we understand that the Bible teaches that the church is the gate of heaven. Amen. When Jacob was, when he was sleeping, he dreamed that dream, and when he woke up, he said, oh, what kind of place is this? He said, this is none other but the gate of heaven. This is the house of God, he said, the gateway to heaven. Amen. This is the place that you're going to get the best opportunity to go to heaven. And you've got to do it. For the Bible teaches us that we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Amen. And so there is all of that. Amen. But the devil doesn't care that you just come to church. He doesn't want you to involve yourself in the church. And he doesn't want you to separate yourself from the world. Because that word separate means, amen, that he no longer has a grasp on anything. He no longer has grip upon anything. You have separated yourself from every hold that he has on your life. And so there's a lot of things that he doesn't care about, but one of the things that he does care about is separation. And I don't care if you do a whole lot of things, just don't separate from the world. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. That's why we preach, amen, separation from the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to the Lord. Praise God. Amen. He said, if you'll do these things, I will receive you. Lesson 4 continued. We continued to talk about the whole man. True holiness does not come from living a set of rules. Holiness is not about rules and regulations, but rather holiness is about relationship. Relationship. Praise God. Relationship. You know, there are rules and regulations in marriage. You know, for one, I would venture to say that your wife not going to allow you to have girlfriends on the side. That's probably a rule. You don't get to have girlfriends on the side. And you know what? The same is true with the husband. The husband's not allowing the wife to have boyfriends on the side either. That's a rule. And there's a biblical principle about that that says that we're not supposed to commit adultery. And so there are rules that goes with that. But you know what? When the relationship is right, the wife doesn't have to worry about the man having girlfriends on the side. When the relationship is right, the husband doesn't have to worry about the wife having boyfriends on the side. When the relationship is right, you don't have to wake up every morning and turn around and look at each other and point each other in the eye and quote Bible, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You don't have to remind each other of the rules. The relationship is right. Can I just say tonight that if that's what you're majoring on, rules and regulations, the relationship isn't right. The relationship isn't right. If you're sitting here saying, well, you know what, I can't do this, the relationship is not right. I just feel like I'm bucking something here tonight in this. The relationship has got to be right. And here's why. The Bible says that the spirit giveth life, but the letter killeth. It says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. If all you are doing is living for God with a black book tucked under your arm, and making sure that you're not breaking any rules and you're not breaking any regulations, first of all, you're going to live a very, very frustrated life. You're not going to live a life with joy and happiness and peace. You're not going to have that peace that is in there. Because the letter kills. And so when you break the law, when there is something that you do that transgresses the law, the Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15. I believe it's probably going to be somewhere over there in verse 54, 55, 56, somewhere in that vicinity, I believe. And so what is he saying? The Bible teaches us in the book of Revelations that there is an adversary that is in the heavens that is doing everything that he can to report evil against you. And when you sin, he doesn't have to lie about some things. He's going to bring the book, and he's going to open the book, and he's going to say, right here, Lord, your word says this and this. This is rule number 52. And guess what? Hunter broke it. And you know what, Brother Hunter? When you break the law, you feel condemned. And you live a life of condemnation. And you have no joy, you have no peace. And all of a sudden, you're just about living the letter. There's no love, there's no peace, there's no joy in living for God. Amen, because you just you're feeling the pricks of it. Is it hard to kick against the pricks? You feel the gold, you feel the sharpness of the word of God as it pokes into your heart and your spirit. And you've got an option. That option is to come before the Lord and to repent and to get right with God so that you don't have to live in condemnation and to cleanse yourself of all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God so that you can repair that relationship that is there. And friend, when that relationship is there and that is prepared, there is a God that is willing to stand up for you. There is a God that's willing to help you. There's a God that's willing to help you to come through it all. Amen. If you'll just fall in love with him. Praise God. Praise God. Now, it is the whole man. Praise the Lord. Let's move on to the inner man. Lesson 5. We begin to dive into that inner man. We can look at what the outward appearance of a man reflects, and we can begin to draw conclusions concerning the entirety of the individual. Simply defining a man due to an outward appearance can be detrimental due to negating the powerful revelation that Jesus gave us with our identity. Just does not come from the outward man, but is more greatly defined by the inward man. I already lost my breath. And so Jesus spoke unto the scribes. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." In other words, it's full of greed and self-indulgence. In a couple of verses later, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which do indeed appear beautiful on the outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and full of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And so he said, outside, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead people's bones and uncleanness. And so what we are pointing out here is that in both of these references, Jesus defines
the clean that is on the outside and the dirty that is on the inside as hypocrisy. And he never condemns the clean on the outside, but he does condemn the dirty that is on the inside. And so we must have both right. Proverbs 23 and 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We typically associate the thinking process to the brain, but here Scripture associates the thinking with the heart. We know that the heart is the center of the man. It is the seat of emotion. And one cannot separate one's thoughts from who that individual is. Proverbs 4 and 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We have a commandment to keep our heart, to keep our heart. Amen. And we are commanded to keep it with all diligence. We've got to be diligent about doing that. You've got to wake up every day and be diligent about doing some things. Praise God. And so the objective is clear. If you're going to keep or retain your heart, you've got to give all diligence. If you're going to be holy, you've got to give all diligence to guarding your heart, the seat of emotion, or that inner man. And so you are setting yourself up for failure, demonic torture, if you simply have an appearance of being right with God on the outside, but that's not the way that it is on the inside. We went back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. The God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. And so we talked about that it's necessary to point out that two-thirds of a man deal with the inner man and one-third the outward man. The spirit and the soul are the inner man, and then the body is the outward man, the whole spirit, praise the Lord. And then we talked about it being to be preserved blameless, praise God. And that is to preserve something is to take action to keep it from spoiling or to going bad. The Lord said that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless before the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Let me try to finish this up here today. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 27. I did want to go back over. I did want to go back over this again. We are still talking concerning the inner man, and the Lord was speaking here, and he said, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so first we talk and we say that Jesus did not erase the old law. He did not erase the saying of old. He said, "You have heard it said of the old time," and he said, "You shall not commit adultery." And so he did not erase that, but he took it a step further. And he said, "But I say," and then his position is very clear. For not only does one's actions need to be correct, but what one does concerning the inside is as important. This is how concerned God is with the inner man. If the inner man commits the sin, it doesn't matter if the outer man carries it out or not. God is still going to hold you accountable for the sins that are committed by the inner man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just say it like this, that Jesus holds what you think and the thoughts of your heart and your mind. He holds you accountable for those things. Praise God. Praise God. This is why living for God can sometimes be so hard. Because people feel like if they have the outside right, then everything is going to be okay. But the inside of the man is still messed up, and they struggle living for God. There's no reason to do that. And the Lord gives us the keys and the answers to these things by telling us how important it is for us to keep the outside man right and the inside man right. And so he says, "I don't want the outside man committing fornication. I don't want him committing adultery. But I don't want the inside man doing the same thing." And he said, as a matter of fact, if you look at things
that you're not supposed to look at? He said, the Lord said, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And you're being held accountable for that. You can't be looking at pornography. If you're looking at pornography, then there's something wrong with the inner man. And there ought to be something that stirs up with inside of us. Because the love of God is not that you would be lost. Amen. The love of God is reaching and pulling onto you. But that's that goad, that condemnation that's hitting you. Somewhere or another, you got to get past and beyond all of that and begin to seek after God to separate yourselves so that you can be back in relationship with God. The devil is not your enemy. I mean, the devil is not your friend. The devil just wants you to trip. The devil wants you to falter. The devil wants you to make big mistakes. And one mistake leads to another mistake. And he's going to continue to beat you and beat you and beat you. But that's why we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is able and just to forgive us of our sins. We don't stop because that we fell into sin. We've got to get back up and get back to an altar. And then you've got to delete the source. My. That just about came out of nowhere. You know why you keep falling back into sin? Because you keep going back to the same source. Your sin isn't coming from multiple sources of all these other places. It's just that same source. It's that same source. It's that same person, that same individual. Amen. And sometimes it may not even be represented in an individual, but it's that same sin. It's that same sin. And can I just help you out a little bit here tonight? It's not going to change. So, I'll just be glad when this temptation goes away. It's not going away. You know why it's not going away? Because the devil can beat you. Why does he have to try something new? Why does he have to go find some new temptation to bring to you when he can just keep getting you to fall over the same thing over and over and over again? Somewhere or another, you've got to find a relationship with God and find strength in an altar. And you've got to fall upon the hands of a merciful God and ask God to help you with these things. And God will. God will help you with these things. But friend, there is some time that you're going to have to break the connection. That's why the devil hates separation. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. God cares about that inside man. This isn't about your social appearance. It's not about your outward appearance or position. This is about God wanting to save us and to help us. Praise God. I want us to stand here tonight. Your God wants you to make it. Your God wants you to be saved. The Bible said that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not standing over you with a big stick to beat you down every time you mess up. But rather, I see a God that's reaching down to pick you up when you fall. You just got to have a mentality to separate yourself. And when the devil can steal your holiness, and he's stolen your power. Because there's a lot of things that we can equate similitudes. We can say God is love. But you know what? You can go find love out there in the world. We can say that God is full of mercy. But you know what? You can find judges that'll extend mercy. We can say that God is faithful. You may even have a few friends out there in the world that can be faithful. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that we can say until you come to the word holy. And you can say God is holy. And there isn't another thing in the entire world that you can equate that to. Nothing. Nothing. You can say that God is peace. You can find a form of peace in the world at different times. But when you say God is holy, there is nothing that holds that same category of being holy like God. So when you become holy, when you take on the essence of being holy, and you have to, he said, be ye holy. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You have to be holy. And that word holy comes from the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, entire. It's the root word of it, entire, holy, entirely pure. Entirely sanctified, entirely justified, entirely washed, entirely his, but holy, holy. The outside has to be holy, and the inside has to be holy. And when the devil can use this against you, he's brought you back down to his level. You see where I'm going tonight? He's brought you back down to his level. When he can throw condemnation in there, accusations in there, when he can throw reality in there, when he can throw facts in there, you're a hypocrite. You've messed up. When he can do all of those things, and there's none of us that are perfect, but it's just how far do you live away from the altar? How frequent do you come back to the altar? And the only way that the devil can get you on his level is to somehow or another make you unholy. But if you can ever, and I'm not saying that as an exasperation as far as, oh, it's so hard to be holy. It's not. It's his nature. When we can get to that place, when we can take on that robe of holiness, and not just an outward, but an inward, when we can take on that spirit of holiness, we rise above the ability and the powers. No wonder he said, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. because you possess something that he doesn't have. He can't mimic. He can't copy. Oh, he can say it out there in the world. Oh, this is a holiness church, but it's not. And that's where we've got to be. I want to be holy. I didn't say self-righteous. I want to be holy. And again, the most powerful voice, the most holy voice in the entire world says, I am meek and lowly of heart. So holiness is not self-righteousness. I just want to be holy. How about you tonight? Praise God. Praise God. There's some of us that need to come talk to the Lord about some stuff. There's some of us that need to get some things right in our life. Hallelujah, Jesus.